We're turning in God's word to Numbers 31 now. We're reading from Numbers 22. I want us to read one verse here in Numbers 31. And it is the verse 8. Numbers 31 and verse 8. And they slew the kings of Midian, beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi, Rechem, and Zur, and Ur, Reba, and Reba, five kings of Midian. Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. Amen. Let's just ask for God's help now as we come to the preaching of his truth. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Saviour. We thank you for the one that we have been singing about. And we pray, O Lord, as we now come around your word, that you will bring us to the Saviour himself. Even as we think of this man who rejected Christ, may we see the folly of this. And may we be led more and more to love him and to seek after him and to walk in his ways. We think of each one that is before you this evening. Lord, meet the need of every heart. Pray, O Lord, especially for this heart. I pray that thou wouldst give me help to preach your word. Acknowledge, Lord, my need of thy help. Come upon us by thy Spirit. And as your word is preached, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The biblical character that I want us to consider this evening is Balaam, the son of Beor. We read of Balaam here in verse 8 of Numbers 31. And what these words tell us is that Balaam died under the judgment of God. Balaam died under the judgment of God. The Lord had commanded Moses to go and slay the Midianites because of their sin and wickedness. And as the Israelite army obeyed God's command, we are told here in verse 8, Balaam also the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. Balaam then died under the judgment of God. He died in his sin. And he lost his soul. And so here we have another individual drawn to our attention in God's word who perished in his sin and who lost his soul. We are then thinking this evening of Balaam, a lost soul. Balaam, a lost soul. Now Balaam is an individual who is relatively well known in the scriptures. And the reason why this man is such a familiar Bible character is not so much to do with what he did, but rather, it has more to do with what his donkey or what his ass did. In a most miraculous and marvelous way, God opened the mouth of Balaam's ass. And that animal spoke and held a rational conversation with its master. This truly was a most wonderful and remarkable happening. And so this is what most people think of and focus upon as soon as they hear of Balaam. His animal that opened its mouth and rebuked Balaam for mistreating it. And this is how often, this is how people often refer to Balaam, as the man who had an ass or donkey that spoke to him and rebuked him for beating it or hitting it three times. Yet in examining the life of Balaam, as he is brought before us in God's word, our attention should not be focused upon the words of Balaam's ass, but rather the wickedness of Balaam's actions. And really this is where our focus should be. Not on the words of Balaam's ass, but the wickedness of Balaam's actions. You see, this man is infamous in scripture for his sin and for his wickedness. He was a rebellious man who loved the wages of unrighteousness, as Peter tells us in 2 Peter 2 and the verse 15. Therefore, Balaam is drawn to our attention in God's word as a warning. As a warning. The conduct and conclusion of his life are recorded in scripture as a warning to us all. Not to go in the same disastrous and damning way that he went. In fact, in the New Testament, Balaam is mentioned on three occasions. He's referred to on three occasions. Peter speaks of him. Jude refers to him. And in the book of Revelation, we read of the doctrine of Balaam. In all three of these occasions where Balaam is referred to in the New Testament, he is set forth as a warning to all men not to follow in the way that he went and not to take the same sinful and destructive path. This is why he's referred to on three occasions in the New Testament as a warning so that we will not go down the same road that he went down and lose our souls. This then is how we must view Balaam. This is how we must consider this man. As a man who lived a sinful life and who in the end lost his soul. We could really say that Balaam's life is like a bright red flashing light. A bright red flashing light in Scripture. Warning men and women not to take the road which he took. A road which leads to eternal punishment and eternal ruin. Now just before we come to consider Balaam's life and why he tragically lost his soul, it is important to understand a little of who this man actually was. Balaam was a Midianite who lived in a place called Pethor, close by the Euphrates River. Among his own people, he was a man that was greatly respected and honored. And they looked up to him as a spiritual leader. This is why Balak wanted Balaam to curse the people of Israel. Because they looked upon him as a man that had special powers. And you see, this is how he was considered. As this great spiritual leader, as a man that possessed special powers. In 2 Peter 2 and 16, Balaam is actually called a prophet. He's referred to as a prophet. And of course he was not one of God's prophets. He was not one of God's servants that declared God's word. Instead he was a false prophet who taught the people of Midian false religion and evil sinful practices. And we will consider this. He was a man who taught false religion and evil and wicked practices. And so this is the type of character that Balaam was. A spiritual leader. A false prophet and teacher. And at the same time, a man who was greatly respected and honored amongst his own people, the Midianites. How then did this spiritual man, this respected leader and teacher, lose his soul? Well, notice with me a number of things as to why Balaam lost his soul. In the first place, we learn from God's word, Balaam lost his soul because of worldliness. He lost his soul because of worldliness. As you read through the biblical account that we're given of Balaam, what becomes very clear is that he was a man that loved and lived for worldly things. He was a man that loved and lived for worldly things. The God that Balaam really worshipped and the God that he served was the God of riches and gain, the God of silver and gold. And this is why the Apostle Peter describes Balaam as a man who loved the wages of unrighteousness. He loved the wages of unrighteousness, the wealth and the material things of this world. This is what he loved. And this is what his heart was devoted to, the things of this world. You see, even though Balaam dressed himself up as a spiritual and religious man, behind all of this facade, there was a carnal, materialistic, and worldly heart. That's the type of man he was. Now this is alluded to in that portion we read earlier in Numbers 22. If you turn back with me in the book of Numbers, Numbers 22, and see what it says in verse 7 here in Numbers 22. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. Notice here it speaks of the rewards of divination. This is referring to the payment that the elders of Moab brought to Balaam so that he would curse their enemies. And this is what happened. They were bringing this reward, they were bringing this payment for Balaam's services. Now this reveals to us that Balaam used his so-called mystical powers to make money. In other words, we would say he was a con man. He was a con man. Balaam was a deceiver who deceived his people into paying him for his supposedly unique and powerful gifts and abilities. And this was the game he was in. A deceiver and a con man that had bewitched his people and they paid him for his great powers as they thought he had. In fact, we learn here that he was a very effective and persuasive con man. For he had even convinced and duped Balak, the king of the Moabites, of his power to bless and to curse. Balak says to Balaam in verse 6, I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. These words reveal that Balak was completely taken in with Balaam's practices. And this is why he was willing to pay for his services. He was completely duped by him. He was conned by him. As if Balaam had this power to bring blessing and to bring cursing. Of course he didn't possess this. Only God's got this power. This is divine power. You see, this is the way they viewed this man. Almost as a god. He had so duped them. He had so conned them. Therefore Balaam had set up what really was a money-making racket, convincing his people that he possessed unique powers and abilities. In the little book of Jude in the New Testament, Jude warns God's people of ungodly men. And as he does this, he says this in Jude 1 and verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward. They have run greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward. Here is the Holy Spirit's commentary on Balaam's life. He was a man that greedily ran after error for reward. This is how the Holy Spirit describes him. He ran after error that he might gain reward, that he might line his pockets and become a wealthy man. Balaam was an individual motivated by carnal and worldly things. This is what he loved and this is what he lived for. And he was willing to engage in the lowest of practices to obtain the wealth and riches of this world. And so we can say Balaam lost his soul, for he sold it for the things of this world. He sold it for the things of this world. Tragically, how many have gone and continue to go in the way of Balaam? How many tramped the same road to hell that he tramped? Their whole focus in life is upon the carnal and material things of this world. This is what they live to obtain and possess. The treasures and trinkets of this perishing world. Indeed, this is how the vast majority of people measure success in life. By the worldly things that they possess. And no doubt as people viewed Balaam, they considered him to be a successful man. Look at how wealthy he was. Look at how prosperous he was. Look at how much money he made. And he would have been considered amongst his own people a wealthy man. This is why they respected him. Because of his success, his worldly success. And this is still how people measure success in this world. By the things that they own, by the things that they have, by their wealth. Christ warned of this very thing in Luke 12 verse 15. When he said, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And see what the Savior is saying there. A man's life doesn't consist in what he owns and what he physically possesses. This is not the measure of a man. This is not what is called successful in God's eyes, what a person earns or has or possesses. But success, true success, is spiritual. It is to know the Lord. It is to be saved. In the light then of this worldly man Balaam, let us just for a moment consider the great problem and danger of worldliness. Let us just consider this for a moment. There are two things we can say about the person who merely lives for the things of this world. Two things we can say. In the first place, we can say the worldly person is conned. The worldly person has been conned. Of course, Balaam, he was out to con other people so that he would have wealth. But really the truth of the matter was, he was the one that was conned. He was a deceived person. There are many examples in God's word which we could turn to illustrate this. How the worldly person is a deceived or conned person. But the most striking and tragic of all of these examples is Judas Iscariot. Judas not only sold Christ for 30 pieces of silver, he also sold his soul for this measly amount of money. Now why did Judas do this? Why did he sell the Savior and his soul for a handful of silver? Why did he do this? As we stand here now, some 2,000 years later, it seems such a foolish thing to do. Why did Judas Iscariot sell out the Savior and sell his soul for a handful of money? Because he was deceived. He was deceived into thinking this is what was really important. And this is what would bring him happiness. He was totally sold out to this. He thought this is what would give him pleasure. This is what will give him peace. This is what will make him successful. This is what will set him up in life. Money. Silver. And so he was conned. Conned by Satan. The same thing, of course, was true of Eve in the Garden of Eden. Why did Eve eat the forbidden fruit? Why did she take that fruit? Why did she desire that thing that was forbidden? Because she was conned. Conned into thinking that if she had that, she would be better off and she would be happy. You see, to value the things of this world above the eternal need of the soul is to be conned. It is to be deceived by the devil. And this is what we see in our society. People living for the things of time. And all of their energy and all of their efforts in life are poured into these things that are really perishing as they're perishing. And they can never truly hold on to. The worldly person, the person who lives material things, is a deceived person. They have been conned by Satan himself. And this is why they behave in this way. I wonder, is this what you're doing? You have many plans, you have many things that you would want to have and do and possess. And really, these are the all important things in your heart and mind. And yes, they're even more important than your own salvation and your soul. That is to be conned by Satan. The worldly person is a conned person. But we can also say the worldly person is crazy. It's crazy. They act in the most foolish way possible. They act in the most foolish way. We see this most clearly in the parable Christ told of the rich foolish farmer. That man had been blessed with a bumper harvest. Indeed, such was his success. He had to pull down his barns and build greater. He had to advance his stores, extend them. However, as the successful farmer sat back and considered all of his increase and prosperity, remember what he said to himself. He said this, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." This man was then thinking his future was bright and secure because of his riches. And that's what he thought. Oh, my future's good. My future's secure. Things are looking rosy and healthy for me because look what I possess. Look at all that I have. Surely my life is on the right track because of all of these things. Yet listen to what God said of this carnal and worldly man. Thy fool. Thy fool. And of course the Lord went on to tell us that that night his soul would be required of him. And all of these things that he put his confidence in, he would be separated from them. God called him a fool. Why? Because he merely lived for the world. Had it no regard for eternity. Or the well-being of his soul. And God called him a fool. Now how prevalent is such thinking and behavior among men and women today? People are just living for the things of time. And this is what they're taken up with. This is so essential and so important. And people have to have this and they have to have that and they have to have the other thing. But they spend no consideration or they have no consideration or they spend little time looking after the eternal well-being of their soul. A soul that will live on out into God's eternity. A soul that will either be in heaven or in hell. And you see, to live for these things of time and not to have any regard for eternity is to be a fool. Is to be a fool. This is Christ's definition of a fool. This is who calls a fool in Scripture. That person who trusts in worldly things for happiness and security and gives no regard to their soul. This is what happened to Balaam. He was a worldly man, conned by worldly things, and behaved in the craziest ways. And this is why he lost his soul. This is why he perished in his sin. Because of his worldliness. But then in the second place, notice with me here, Balaam lost his soul not only because of his worldliness, but also because of his wantonness. His wantonness. Wantonness is to disobey God in a deliberate and heedless manner. That's what it is. To disobey God in a deliberate or heedless manner. It is to disregard and ignore God's word. Now again, we see that this is what Balaam did. He deliberately disregarded and ignored that which God said to him. He was continually wanton in his conduct in this sense, ignoring, despising God's word. Let's just consider for a moment the wanton behavior of this foolish man. We see here Balaam wantonly rejected God's message. And this is brought out here. He wantonly rejected God's message. Now Balaam professed to be one that obeyed God's word. And he made a loud profession of this. And we see this in the words of verse 18 here in Numbers 22. See what it says in verse 18. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord, my God, to do the less or the more. And so he professes here. Oh, listen, I'm shut into this reality. I must do God's bidding. I must obey his word. This is what I'm shut into. He professed to submit to God's voice. However, in practice, things were very much different in his life. And by the way, this is the sign of someone who is a false professor, a hypocrite in regard to spiritual matters. The hypocrite always professes a good profession, but there's not the complying in the life. They make a big deal about making a profession, but yet in life things are different. And this was the case with Balaam. Notice in verse 12 what God said to Balaam concerning the children of Israel. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And so this is a direct command from God here. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. God is very clear with Balaam here. This is a command. However, when Balak's princes return again to Balaam, to again request that he would curse the people of Israel. Note Balaam's response in verse 19. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. See what he does here. Now he knew God's word already. He knew what God had commanded. And really we need to observe this about Balaam. Because he was a man that already knew the mind of God on this matter. God had told him, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. This was a command. He knew God's command. Therefore, Balaam should have dismissed these men. Right off. I've already received God's voice in this. God has spoken. He's already spoken. And therefore, that's it. But instead of dismissing these men, he in fact dismisses the message of God. And we see this later on here. Because notice what it says in verses 20 and 21. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Notice in verse 20, God sets a condition in regard to Balaam going with the princes of Moab. He says to him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. And that's the condition. If in the morning these men come and call thee, then I permit you to go with them, but you're only allowed to speak that which I say. And so the condition was this, if the men come to call you. But in verse 21, we simply read, and Balaam rose up in the morning, and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. See here how Balaam again ignores that which God has said. He just forgets about the condition that God had set. These men didn't call him. Because as soon as he rose up in the morning, he saddled his ass and he went with them. and they ignored the condition that God had set. And this is why in the following verse, verse 22, it begins with the words, God's anger was kindled because he went. God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Therefore we see most clearly here that Balaam was a man that wantonly and deliberately rejected God's message. God spoke to him. But you see, Balaam was a slippery character. And he always wanted people to think that he was obeying God's word and he was complying. But all along he was living in disobedience, wanton disobedience to God's command. And continued to go on and on and on in his own way, while professing at the same time to be obedient. The whole business with the ass reveals his determination to go on his own way. It really does. He was so focused on going and cursing the people of Israel to obtain the riches of Balak that he couldn't even see that what his ass was able to see. He couldn't see there was an adversary in the way. Here we have then another reason why Balaam perished in his sin and lost his soul. Because he wantonly rejected God's message. Wantonly, deliberately, heedlessly rejected that which God said. The simple truth is, those who wantonly reject that which God has said will suffer eternal loss. They, without any doubt, will lose their soul. This will happen. All who reject God's message shall perish in their sin. And this is brought before us many times in Scripture. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles 36 just for a moment. Here we have a most notable incident where we see how God's people, the people of Israel, rejected God's word. And then, if the thing was that there was no cure for these people, there was no salvation for them. 2 Chronicles 36 tells us this in verse 14. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. And so God here is sending his word, his message, time and time and time again. But it says in verse 16, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people, till there was no remedy. Solemn words, till there was no remedy. Those who wantonly ignore God's message, there's no remedy. There's no cure for their sin-sick soul. And they will perish in their sin as Balaam did. As Christ speaks in his word, he declares to all men, repent and believe the gospel. And we can say this is God's simple message. This is God's simple message to sinful man. This is God's message in a nutshell. Repent from your sin. Believe the gospel. Believe the Christ that is revealed in the gospel. Christ for salvation. This is God's message. Now when this message is ignored and rejected, when it's refused, there's nothing but ruin and destruction that will follow. This is what happened to Balaam. He wantonly rejected God's message. And he perished in his sin. Notice also here with me, Balaam not only wantonly rejected God's message, he also wantonly rejected God's mercy. He wantonly rejected God's mercy. It is, or in a most marvelous way, God was very merciful and gracious to Balaam. God was very merciful and gracious to this man. Remember, Balaam was a con man who was out to make financial gain with his trickery and sorcery. A wicked man. Yet God, in a very merciful way, revealed his truth to Balaam. In fact, he revealed the greatest truth to Balaam. The essential truths in regard to salvation. This is really brought before us in chapters 23 and 24 of Numbers. You see, in these chapters, God's Spirit comes upon Balaam And God reveals his truth to Balaam in a most powerful way. See what it says in chapter 24 and the verses 2 and 3. Chapter 24, Numbers, verse 2. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor has said, and the man whose eyes are open has said. It speaks here of God's Spirit given to Balaam sight to behold spiritual things. Now God's Spirit didn't come upon him as God's Spirit would come upon a believer. But it's speaking here of God's Spirit coming upon Balaam and enabling him to see spiritual things. And that's why it says his eyes were opened. And he was able to see. You see, God in mercy was revealing things to him. Wonderful things. Now there are many things which God enabled Balaam to see here. But because of time, we cannot go into them. Yet notice with me some of the marvelous truths God revealed to Balaam at that time. God revealed to him the truth about the soul. The truth about the soul. And we see this in chapter 23 in the verse 10. Notice what it says there in verse 10 in chapter 23. And this is Balaam prophesying as God's Spirit came upon him, revealing things to him. Verse 10 says, who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. See, here Balaam sees the importance of dying the death of the righteous. And you see, God is revealing to him that death and dying the death of the righteous is now important. Here was a man living for worldly things, living merely for the things of time. But God reveals to him he's a soul and that he needs to die the death of the righteous. He will live after death, in other words. There's eternal matters to deal with here. And God reveals this to Balaam. And this is why he says, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. God not only revealed to Balaam the truth about the soul, he also revealed to him the truth about salvation. And we see this in verse 21 in Numbers 23. See what it says. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen the perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Balaam here has shown that salvation involves dealing with iniquity. In fact, these words really speak about justification. The wonderful act of God declaring his people righteous. Because it speaks here of the Lord not beholding iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. And then it says the Lord his God is with him. And this is the truth about salvation. Salvation involves dealing with iniquity and having our sins blotted out, having our sins covered. And God is revealing this to Balaam, this wicked and evil man, this con man, this deceiver. God has taught him now about his soul, and he's taught him about salvation. And then God reveals to Balaam the truth about the Savior himself. And we have this in verse 17 in chapter 24. Notice what it says in verse 17. I shall see him, but not nigh. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. These words speak of the coming of the Savior. The star out of Jacob is speaking of Christ. And a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And that, of course, all points to Christ. And the Lord was teaching here, Balaam, or showing Balaam, that out of Israel there would come a Savior, a Deliverer, one in whom there was victory, and one who would champion the cause of his people, and redeem them and save them and lead them into victory completely. And so Balaam was taught of the Savior. These are the things God revealed to Balaam that day. Marvelous truths. The truth of the soul. The truth about salvation. The truth about the Savior. And of course, these are the essential truths. These are the truths that men and women in their sin need to understand. They've got a soul.
and a soul that will live after death, and they need to die the death of the righteous. They need to understand the truth about salvation. They need their iniquities to be blotted out. And they need to understand the truth of the Saviour. That He is the one who can, the only one who can deliver His people and lead them into victory. Nevertheless, despite God mercifully manifesting to Balaam these truths, what did he do? What did he do? He wantonly rejected the Lord. What a powerful gospel was preached to Balaam by the Spirit of God coming upon him. And yet after all of this, after experiencing this mercy from God, he rejected the Lord. We know this because we read in verse 25 in Numbers 24. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place. And Balak also went his way. Notice here it says Balaam returned to his place. Returned to his place. And the thought is, he didn't join with the people of Israel. He had just heard the gospel here. He had heard the truth about these people being God's people. And the Lord championed their cause and the Lord given them victory. But after hearing this, what did he do? He returned to his place. He went back to his sinful life. His sorcery. His conning and deceiving. His wickedness and worldliness. Therefore Balaam lost his soul because he wantonly rejected God's mercy. He wantonly rejected God's mercy. To know the truth of Christ and his salvation is the greatest mercy God could bestow upon a sinner outside of salvation itself. Oh, to know of Christ and what he's done. What a mercy that is. To know that there's one who's come into this world and one who's lived and one who's died and one who's suffered and paid the debt of sin and one who's triumphed over the grave and now stands ready to pardon and forgive sinners who call upon him in faith. Oh, what a mercy to know this. What a privilege to know this. To then wantonly reject this mercy. Well, it's spiritual suicide. It is to know the way of life and then choose the path of death. And this is exactly what Balaam did. Exactly what this man did. And this is why he lost his soul. Oh, do not go in the same destructive way that Balaam did. Balaam lost his soul because of wantonness, because of worldliness. In the last place we can see here, Balaam lost his soul because of wickedness. Turn over with me now to Numbers 31 again. Notice what it says in verse 16 here, in Numbers 31. Verse 16, Numbers 31. Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Speaks here of how the people of Israel were led into sin and wickedness through the counsel of Balaam. The people of Israel were led into sin through the counsel of Balaam. What was the counsel of Balaam? What was it? Well, Balaam advised the Midianites to send their women into the camp of Israel and to enter into sinful relationships with them and in this way turn the people of Israel away from the Lord to their pagan religion, to the religion of the Midianites or the Moabites. And this was the counsel of Balaam. You see, Balaam understood that he couldn't curse these people. He couldn't put a curse upon them. And indeed, God would not allow him to do this. But Balaam played the old trick of ecumenism. Let's entice them into friendship and partnership. And then pollute their worship with our pagan worship. And this is what happened. Because if you turn back to Numbers 25, it tells us this is exactly what happened in the first three verses of Numbers 25. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people onto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods, and Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. That's their pagan god. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Now this was all done at the advice and counsel of Balaam. Balaam was the man who planned this all out and who schemed this thing and put it together. Therefore, Balaam was really the enemy of God. He was the great enemy of God. And this is how he died, in his sin and wickedness, in rebellion against God. This, of course, is ultimately why he lost his soul. Because he died in a state of wickedness as God's enemy. In the end, his true colours were seen. He was really God's enemy who hated the Lord. Now tonight you may think, well, I'm not God's enemy like Balaam was. And that might be true in one sense. You're not planning to destroy the church. You're not planning to attack God's people and corrupt the worship of God. Yet, we must remember that man by nature is in a state of wickedness. And as such, man by nature is God's enemy. Born in sin, we are God's enemies by nature. Romans 8:1 tells us the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. That means that you in your natural state are God's enemy. And as you live in your sin, you are rebelling against God, even as Balaam did. Therefore, if you, like Balaam, die in your wickedness, continue on in your wickedness as God's enemy, then there's only one possible outcome. You, like him, will lose your soul. You too will perish under God's judgment in your sin. Don't go in the way of this worldly, wanton, and wicked man. Oh, don't. Heed the warning of his life. He set before us to warn us. Heed the warning of his life. And by faith seek Christ as your Savior. What a wonderful thing it is that there is a way of salvation. We read about this man, and as I thought of this man in the past week, and as I thought about his life and the way that he lived, what a complete mess. A schemer. A man who was a con man, always trying to climb the ladder of this world and gain more and more of the wealth of this world. A man who was blessed to know the gospel. A man who corrupted God's worship. And then a man at the end of the day who was slain by the people of Israel under God's judgment. It's really a tragic story. A tragic story. But it's a tragedy for everyone who loses their soul. Therefore, don't be like Balaam. Seek Christ. See in him the one who can meet your need in full. Deal with your sin. One who can clothe you in his perfect righteousness. And on the final day of judgment, present you before his Father's face without spot or wrinkle. This is Christ. This is my Savior that I preach this evening. Therefore seek him. And you shall be saved. I trust you will. May God be pleased to bless his truth to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen.